Thank you for joining us this morning. The Wave Devotional today comes to you from the campus of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. Dr. James Cox is professor of Christian preaching at Southern. He will be bringing us the message from God's Word, following Have Faith in God, an old favorite hymn sung by the Southern Baptist Century Men.
The Lord says, as we find it in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The audience in the packed lecture hall stood and responded with wave after wave of applause. The heads of universities and other educators had just heard a moving address by Dr. Viktor Frankl, a member of the medical faculty of the University of Vienna. It was 1965, and the occasion was the celebration of the 600th anniversary of the founding of the university. Frankl had spoken on his favorite theme, which was the passion and explanation of his life. His theme was the will to meaning. I was there, and I believe I know why the audience responded that day with such fervor. It was not only because of what the speaker said, though it was meaty and well prepared, nor was it just because of the exciting delivery, though a friend of mine turned to me and said with a twinkle in his eye, "He spoke like a Texas evangelist, didn't he?" The real reason, I feel, was profound admiration of the courage that had brought this Jewish psychiatrist through unspeakable suffering. He had endured the death of his father, his mother, his brother, and his wife at the hands of the Nazis. As a prisoner, he himself had known the horrors of the death camp, but he had survived with a bit of luck and with the courage that a conviction of meaning in life had given him. Most of us do not find ourselves in circumstances that call for the raw, incredible courage demanded of men and women who have had everything good and worthwhile taken away from them. Life deals with us far more kindly. But we all, young and old alike, have experiences that call for courage just as real as the spirit demanded of the martyrs. And to us, as well as to Joshua, come words that can transform our cowardice into courage. Some of us have heard these words many times and up till now have taken them only half seriously. They sound good and inspirational, and that's the end of it. But hear them again. This time they might lead to a revolutionary change in your life. Who knows? Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and stand firm. Be strong, be resolute. These are different translations of the words that were said to Joshua on this most significant occasion in his life. Can you imagine how desperately Joshua needed such a command? Moses was dead, and the leadership of a migrant nation had fallen on Joshua's shoulders. Before him lay the promised land with its treasures and its dangers. Who was a match for this challenge? Joshua? Well, Joshua was only human, and he knew his weaknesses. He knew them better than anyone else. But God was God, and God had said, "Be strong and of a good courage." This is what made the great difference. If you take it seriously, it can make a profound difference in your life. Where can we who also know our weaknesses, get what it takes to act bravely in face of temptation and trial, to endure suffering and persecution, to take up a new job, to live through a divorce, to survive private guilt or public disgrace, and, just as importantly, to have a first date, to get one's first job, to marry and build a home, to bring children into the world, to retire, to lose loved ones and friends, and ultimately to face one's own death? Who holds the magic key to the courage needed to see us through. To begin with, the secret lies within ourselves. Courage is a native gift. We are born with it, and it stays with us as long as we live, though we don't call on it, it may be often enough. What is courage? It is that quality of character that will help you to stand firm or will help you to push on, even when life goes against you. It is what will help you to endure anxiety or pain in order to reach a certain goal. Courage is not simply a spiritual quality. It is physical as well. Fear is an inborn instinct, but so is courage. Religious people and non-religious people alike know what it means to be afraid, and both groups, both the religious and the non-religious, again and again show surprising resources of courage. The instinct for self-preservation, of course, has been widely recognized. Our adrenal glands react to danger and make us do one of two things, fight or run. They can support our courage, our caution, or our cowardice. Courage, such as it is, serves on many levels of life. You may find yourself at this very moment in a situation where raw courage, no more than is within your reach, is called for. Robert Louis Stevenson once said, "You cannot run away from a weakness. You must sometime fight it out or perish. And if that be so, why not now and where you stand?" An Australian physician, Mrs. Claire Weeks, has declared that one can refuse to run away, can fight it out, and can win a victory despite weakness, trembling, panic, and despair. The resources within your physical body come into play. Trembling has an end. Panic subsides if only you stand firm. It has been pointed out that some marriages last for no other reason than the sheer determination to make them last. One could go on to say that bravery in battle, willingness to deny self, serving one's fellow men against almost intolerable opposition, all these acts of courage can come from resources that we are born with, resources that we have quietly cultivated bit by bit through the years. Admiral Drake, we are told, stood on his quarter deck before a battle, shaking all over, and remarked, "My flesh trembles at the many dangers into which my resolute heart will lead me." So you and I may stand, and while trembling, be strong and of a good courage. In the words of Ogmandino, "If I feel depressed, I will sing. If I feel sad, I will laugh. If I feel ill, I will double my labor. If I feel fear, I will plunge ahead. If I feel inferior, I will wear new garments. If I feel uncertain, I will raise my voice. If I feel poverty, I will think of wealth to come. If I feel incompetent, I will remember past success. If I feel insignificant, I will remember my goals." And someone might even say, with no irreverence intended, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." So courage comes from within ourselves. But not only so. Courage comes from others too. If we are courageous at all, it is because others have helped us to be steadfast and resolute. The Apostle Paul, as we all know, had no easy time of it. Life was hard on him. But many people along the way made it easier. He could take heart and keep going. One man, Onesiphorus, is singled out for special praise. "He cheered me up many times," Paul said. "He was not ashamed that I am in prison. But as soon as he arrived in Rome, he started looking for me until he found me." As a teenager, I heard a story I could not forget. A destructive fire was roaring, said the story. The firemen had fought hard to evacuate the burning building. Only one person, waiting frantically at a window several stories from the ground, remained to be rescued. A fireman on a long ladder struggled to get the person to safety and was about to fall. A man standing below turned to the crowd of spectators and cried, "Give him a cheer! Give him a cheer!" Up from the crowd went a tumultuous cheer. The fireman on the ladder found new strength and brought the person to safety. Who knows what miracles have been wrought by a fitting word, by a firm hand clasp, or by some simple act of brotherly kindness? Courage comes from others also in a slightly different way. It comes when we discover our common bond of humanity. When we discover that in many ways we are all in the same boat. But this is not too easy to see. We walk about comparing ourselves unfavorably with other people, comparing our worst with their best. We feel unworthy, inferior, and weak, and this makes us cowardly. It makes it hard for us to improve ourselves. Churches can do this to people. That is what caused Henry Ward Beecher, one of the best-known churchmen of the 19th century, to say emphatically that the church is not a gallery for displaying eminent Christians, but a school for training imperfect ones. One of the secrets of the phenomenal success of Alcoholics Anonymous lies in its ability to help men and women to discover our common bond of humanity, to recognize that people who have special problems can strengthen one another, and to believe that there is a God who wants to save us each and all from our private misery. When we are in church and the minister is talking about either guilt or goodness, we can make the mistake of saying, "He is talking about me," or "He is talking about him." It is often more helpful to say, "He is talking about us." The Epistle to the Hebrews says that we should be concerned with one another, to help one another to show love and to do good. Many a time, this is just how some struggling man or woman finds courage to keep going. The late Professor William Lyon Phelps, a beloved and world-renowned teacher at Yale University, during his lifetime endured at least two periods of protracted black despair. As a result, he was always sympathetic with sufferers from nerves or from melancholia or depression, for, as he said, "I know the particular part of hell they are in." He felt when any young person committed suicide that if someone could only have been with him, this young person might have had before him 40 or 50 years of happiness. Sometimes, many times, our own courage is not sufficient. If we are of good courage, if we are resolute, if we stand fast, it must be together with one or more persons who lend us their strength, or even, so to speak, their weakness, which may become strength to us. We have to go one step further. Courage comes from God, in the last analysis, of course, in every case. But it can happen also in the immediate situation. When some sea too deep confronts us, as it did the Israelites and Moses, God has the decisive word. When a future threatening with uncertainty and danger confronts us, as it did the Israelites and Joshua, God again has the decisive word. Personal opinion and personal courage, the consensus of our friends and their frenzy and willingness to fight with us and for us, these do not settle things when matters of life and death are decided. We rely then on the promise of God. Sometimes the promise of God is all we have to go on. We feel no strength inside us. No one helpful appears in the hour of crisis. Only God and His Word are there. But most often, God's promise mobilizes our own courage and solidifies the help of our comrades in arms. We hear the words, "Be strong and of a good courage, and all is well." Still, we have more than a naked promise to rely on. Experience of God's mercies shows that every promise is true. Things may be tough for you now, but has He ever failed you or forsaken you? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians once of misfortune that befell him in Asia. He said, "I was crushed, crushed far beyond what I could stand, so much so that I despaired even of life. In fact, I told myself it was a sentence of death. But this was to make me rely not on myself, but on the God who raises the dead. He rescued me from so terrible a death. He rescues still, and I rely upon Him for the hope that He will continue to rescue me." We too can stand fast singly or together, expecting God to be with us. We can be strong and of a good courage, for God will help us. God will be with us and help us to face both moral and physical danger. And there is a plenty of each. I don't suppose that God will let any of us, if we truly belong to Him, live with a comfortable conscience. Too much of the world, too much of life and human relationships is riddled with evil. But He will give us a comforted conscience so that we can move bravely forward, trying the best we can to serve Him, though we make 1,000 mistakes doing it. We can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." And we can pray with John Henry Newman as well, "Keep Thou my feet, I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me." Now, suppose we recognize the many different gifts of courage that are already ours or that are freely offered to us and available to us. Does this mean that sweeping dramatic changes will take place in our lives? No, not necessarily. But it does mean that we will at least live our lives on a deeper level, that we will not be so often defeated, that when we are defeated, we will get back to our feet much sooner, and that instead of always thinking about our own problems, we will be more concerned to help others with theirs. In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, we find a striking picture of our human situation. As we make our pilgrimage, we come to a narrow passageway, and lions are lying in the way. They're chained, but we do not see their chains. Like the characters of Bunyan, timorous and mistrust, we are tempted, panic-stricken, to turn back. But we hear the voice that says, "Keep in the midst of the path, and no hurt shall come unto thee." And we find it to be true. When we are commanded, "Be strong and of a good courage," it is not empty advice. It is not a challenge to lift ourselves by our heels. It is the word of the Lord, and with the command comes the power to obey. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God grant that it may be so for each of you. In Christ's name, amen.
We hope that this program has been meaningful to you. It is our prayer that God's presence will guide you through this week. The Wave Devotional today has been produced in cooperation with the Audiovisual Department of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, 2825 Lexington Road in Louisville.